Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. Gotta laugh. It's Thursday. Gotta laugh because, well, you gotta laugh. Gotta laugh because Rit just hit me with, "You're on, bring it." And the reason Rit is telling me that I'm on, bring it, is because it is Thursday and Alvin is not here. We are short-staffed. Welcome to the program. It's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Alvin is not here, but essentially everybody else is. It is a four-interview day. That's a rare day in the jungle. Four interviews, all NFL-related. I will get to that momentarily. If you want to hit me up, do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, do that at Jim Rome. If you want to find me on email, do that too. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Quickly, here are the four interviews coming up next segment. In fact, we go back to back. Next segment, I've got a linebacker for the Tennessee Titans, Rashawn Evans. Later on this hour, Robert Tonyan, a tight end for the Packers. You probably know his story. It's amazing. In hour number two, host of the NFL Red Zone on the NFL Network, Scott Hansen. In hour number three, a wide receiver with the Buffalo Bills, Gabriel Davis. Four interviews, lots to get to. Hey, really quickly, let me say about my morning. Short and the long of it. Good news, bad news. Well, bad news, good news. Anyway, I wake up this morning and here in Southern California, another fire, another serious fire. And I wake up and I smell the smoke. So I'm thinking that fire is not only in Southern California, it's pretty much in my bedroom or my bathroom or my kitchen, but it's definitely in my house. And I can't figure out why my smoke alarms did not go off. So I get up, I walk around, no fire. Good news. Good news is there's no fire. Bad news is I smell a lot of smoke, so therefore I had a stroke. Good news, bad news. Good news is my house is not on fire. Bad news is I stroked out in the middle of the night. Neither of those things happen, but there is a lot of smoke once again, and I'm sure that AQI is up around 500. Welcome to SoCal. All right, let me start with yesterday's game. Wednesday football, right? You know, like back in the day, and I speak from experience. I speak from experience as a failed outside sales rep. If anybody can relate to a Wednesday matinee, it's outside sales reps. You know, I know exactly who I'm talking to, and you're already nodding your heads. You know, I know, we all know, if you're an outside sales rep, you know you're supposed to be pounding the bricks, but instead, in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, you're going to mix in a movie, or you're going to mix in nine, or both. And then roll into the office right before the end of the day and drop some tiny little sale that you made and you've been holding on to for like a week, right? Onto your boss's desk and say, "Man, it was an ass kicker out there. Man, I made 100 calls. Man, every door slammed shut, but I got this one. Got this one, boss." When in reality, that's not what you did, man. You changed out of your work clothes. You played 9, or you played 18, or you went to a movie, and then you showed up. And then you got back into your work clothes. And then you showed up and you dropped that tiny little sale on the boss's desk that you've been holding on to for a week. Am I right, outside sales rep? Tell me I'm right. Hit me up, man. Tweet it to me. You know I'm right. Because I lived that life except for the part about the sale. I never got any sales. But I did go to the movies in the middle of the day. Anyway, that's what yesterday was. That's what we got with the Ravens-Steelers. A Wednesday matinee. Or a diversion, or something you want to do instead of what you were supposed to do. Smack dab in the middle of a workday. A freaking NFL game at 12:40 Pacific time. The pandemic season has meant that we have now had Thursday night football, Sunday football, Sunday night football, Monday night football, Tuesday night football, and now Wednesday day football. The only thing we're missing is Friday morning football to complete the set. And that Wednesday day football was outstanding. I mean, it was. I mean, it couldn't have gotten off to a better start, right? The Ravens get the ball first. They go 3 and out. Great. The Steelers get the ball. They go 3 and out. Awesome. You know, for a moment there, I was thinking, what the hell are we doing? What's the point of this? Man, give me an A or give me an F, and that was a C minus. If you're going to get together on a Wednesday afternoon for an NFL game, do not give us some bum-ass, average, boring NFL game. Man, give us something real. Real good or real bad, but something real. Bad football is better than no football at all, but boring football isn't. Not in the middle of the week, not in the middle of the day. And yes, I'm well aware that Bob Griffin was starting for Baltimore, so that made it different. But after the first series, after seeing Bob out there one series, I need more than that. Give me something to work with. And sure enough, after the first two drives, the Ravens and the Steelers started to get nice. After trading three and outs, Baltimore gets the ball back, and they do this on first down.
Bad handoff here. It's loose, and it belongs to the Steelers. So on the mistake at the next point, Robert Griffin loses it with Edwards, and Vince Williams comes up with the recovery for Pittsburgh.
That's NBC, and that's what I'm talking about. He put it on the ground, and that was just the start. Because a few plays after that, Big Ben then did this.
Fourth and goal from the one. Roethlisberger surveys, running out of time. Ben keeps it alive, and it's an interception. Tyus Bowser with the pick.
Hey, listen, we can argue about whether or not that was a terrible play or not. After all, it was fourth down, so there's no point in taking a sack. You may as well try and make something happen. But there is no denying that what Bob Griffin did next was a truly terrible play. Because two plays after Ben chucks his INT, Griffin goes next level.
From the 12, RG3 sets, throws, it's intercepted. Third turnover of the game, and it is taken back all the way for a touchdown by Joe Hayden. The three-time Pro Bowl corner picks off Robert Griffin the third and scores to give the Steelers the 6-0 lead.
Westwood won, and that's my guy. That's my guy, Bob Griffin. Anything you can do, I can do worse. That is the Wednesday afternoon football that I am here for. That's the middle of the week, middle of the day, because we didn't want to jerk with a Christmas tree lighting football that I'm talking about. That truly was some Cheez-It Bowl presented by Poulon Weed Eater level stuff right there. You know, that sixth place team in the SEC against some Mountain West team that nobody gives a damn about, playing in a bowl game in the middle of November, stinking up the joint. Now we're on to something. And there was still more insanity to come in that sequence. So far we've had a fumble, an interception in the end zone, a pick six. You know what we're missing? Something from the special teams. And then a couple of plays later, we get that too.
Sam Cook kicking to Ray McCloud. Good kick. 56 yards. McCloud lost it. There's the ball on the ground. Picked up by the Ravens at the 10-yard line. Anthony Levine Sr. comes up with it. Sam Cook usually kicks a difficult-to-catch ball.
Oh, hell yes, McCloud, man. I'm having the best time of my life.
That's a great opportunity for the Ravens.
I'm having the time of my life. If we were playing like Wednesday day football bingo, your card would have caught fire. Fumble, interception, pick six, muffed punt. And the Ravens turned that into seven a few plays later. I'm telling you, at that point, I'm all in. While Thursday night football is one of the worst things ever, I'm thinking after what I'm seeing right here, Wednesday day football is the best thing ever. And not because it was so good, but because it was so bad. So bad that it was awesome. Like, I was hoping this never ends. I didn't want that ever to end. You know when you find your favorite show and you binge your favorite show, like The Queen's Gambit, whatever your show is, and maybe it's only six episodes or seven episodes, and you're so locked in and you're binging, and then bam, it's over. You're so pissed. You want more so badly. That was yesterday. Man, I'm thinking to myself, I hope this never ends. Best show ever. Like I said, I'm looking for an A or an F, and that was an A plus of an F, right? Best stuff ever. Unfortunately, they all settled down. Unfortunately, the rest of the game did not go that way. It couldn't keep pace with the first quarter. Certainly not after Bob popped his hammy in the second quarter.
Second and one. Griffin keeping on the edge. He come up a little bit late as he was cutting to the outside over the 23-yard line. As we get inside the two-minute warning, you can just see the disappointment on Robert Griffin III's face.
You can see the disappointment on Robert Griffin III's face. You should have seen the disappointment on my face. I was having so much fun. That was grim, though. He tried to gut it out, but the fact is Bob Griffin cannot do Bob Griffin things from the sideline with a big-ass bag of ice taped to his hammy. And from that point on, the game just wasn't the same. It makes sense, right? Who can keep up that level of awesome for 60 minutes? It's like I always say, if something seems too good to be true, generally it is. There was no way they were going to give us 60 minutes of that perfection. So then it just devolved from a beautiful game of muffed punts and pick sixes into some unwatchable, ugly rock fight. Pittsburgh ends up winning ugly, 19-14. They remain unbeaten. Honestly, Baltimore put up a better fight than anybody expected. They hadn't practiced in forever. They were missing a huge chunk of their roster. They had their backup quarterback starting. Then he had to leave the game for a third stringer. The amazing thing is, not only did they remain competitive, they damn near could have ripped that game late had James Washington not ripped that reception from about half the Ravens' defense. So, there are no moral victories in the standings, but you got to give the Ravens credit for how they showed up, how they battled. Except, know this, they were pissed. They were pissed afterwards, and they were pissed about a bunch of things. They were pissed that they hadn't practiced in a while, and that the only prep they had was a walkthrough on Monday and Tuesday. Griffin also says, you know what? I normally never, ever pop a hammy. So the fact that we didn't have practice probably had something to do with me popping my hammy.
You know, I pulled a hamstring today. I've never pulled a hamstring in my life. And it just, you see guys going down left and right.
Guy's not wrong, right? Numerous Ravens players suffered numerous and various injuries. He was bent. Chuck Clark had similar thoughts.
I mean, I don't know what comes with me saying this, but I mean, of course, on Monday and Tuesday, we wonder why were we allowed back in the building, you know, if we say everything is based back off of contact tracing and things like that. And then that's what's told us, you know, we got to look at some of those things.
Look, I know where these guys are coming from. I can see why the players might be thinking that the league didn't have their best interest and safety on top of their priority list. Because while the Ravens were dealing with an epic outbreak, the league made it pretty clear, come hell or high water or a Christmas tree lighting, man, we're playing this game. Somehow, some way, we're going to get this game in. As for the Steelers, they're 11-0. They're 2-0 against their rival. They're having an incredible year. They may even be an incredible team. But if you think Mike Tomlin is happy, think again. If you think Tomlin is happy, you do not know Tomlin.
Disappointed in our performance tonight. We did enough to win, but that's all. It was really junior varsity, to be quite honest with you. And it was in all three phases. We couldn't run the ball effectively when we needed to. We dropped too many significant passes, very catchable, makeable passes. We didn't make significant plays in the special teams game. Our kickoff coverage unit wasn't good enough. We turned the damn ball over. We gave up big plays in critical moments on defense. Can't have it. They converted a long run on a possession down before the half. Unacceptable. They had a 70-yard touchdown late in the game. Unacceptable.
Holy crap. Man, that is some straight fire. And he was only getting started. There was even more heat coming.
It was just bad by all parties involved, man. Coaches first, players second. We make no excuses. We seek no comfort. We didn't play well or coach well tonight.
And then when asked what he attributed the team's red zone struggles to, he had a simple answer.
You had some red zone failures and a number of drop passes. Do you attribute that to anything in particular?
Us sucking.
Oh, hell yes. As always, saying something sucks is not a take, but an NFL head coach answering a question with a single line of us sucking is one of the best takes ever. Nearly as good as Danny Green losing his mind back in the day during his postgame presser. Difference is Tomlin won. He's still undefeated and still furious. Man, that was my man's straightest and hottest fire ever.
Us sucking.
Freaking ether for everybody, players and coaches alike, after a win to get to 11-0.
Us sucking.
If Wednesday day football means that we get Mike Tomlin blasting his team like that after a win, sign me up for a full season of it. So I guess the real winner yesterday was Dolly Parton Kelly Clarkson, and NBC. No matter how lame you think tree lightings are, it could not have been any worse than that Wednesday afternoon junior varsity game. And you imagine how bent Meghan Trainor, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and the Rockettes would have been if they got pushed to the afternoon for that crap? I didn't watch the Rockefeller tree lighting show, but I'm guessing unless the lights didn't work, it probably was better TV viewing. Ask Mike Tomlin. If you think that I was not going to lay out a Wednesday game the way I just did, then you don't know me or Tomlin. That was Wednesday afternoon football. Working 9 to 5. Stop it, Ritt. Stop it, Ritt. Ritt's like, yeah, I got some Dolly Parton for you. Ritt, you're older than her. When we come back, we're going back to back. I've got Rashawn Evans, and then I've got Robert Tonyan. 1-800-636-8686. And clones, in the meantime, I do have a question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? Well, there is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough, because they only use the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper jerky comes in 4 mouth-watering flavors: old-fashioned with a hint of brown sugar, teriyaki, peppered, and if you need a little more zing, we've got hot and spicy for you too. Chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and to provide real sustained energy. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Make Old Trapper part of your weekly grocery list and keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you don't see it, make sure you ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Stay busy. Lots to get done, especially in hour number one. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. He had 4 tackles and a pass defended in Sunday's win over the Colts. 65 tackles, 2 quarterback hits, a couple of fumble recoveries, 2 passes defended, and a half sack this season. He led the team with 139 tackles and 11 tackles for a loss last season. 2-time national champion at Alabama, 22nd pick overall in 2018. The Titans are 8-3. They're in first in the AFC South, and they've got a big one coming up Sunday, hosting Cleveland, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Rashawn Evans is my guest. Rashawn, great to have you back. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Glad to be back.
It's always good to have you on the show. All right, so I know you're already thinking about and focused on Cleveland Sunday, but if you could, can you take me back to the win over the Colts on Sunday? Indy is a tough, physical football team, and you guys hammered them in their own house. Do you feel like you made a statement against a good team? And if so, what was the statement?
Yeah, I mean, I still got to give kudos to the Colts, man. I mean, you know, being able to go against a really good team like that, you know, 2 times a year, it is, you know, it is one of those things where, you know, you're going to lose some guys at the end of that type of game, man. I told even reporters before the week was even going to start, it was going to be a slugfest, it was going to be a bloodbath. Just a simple fact of the physicality on both sides of the team, man. And, you know, that's exactly what happened that game, man. It was a really good game, being able to play against, you know, guys on the other side of that field, man, who are really good at what they do. And, you know, the big thing was, you know, the team was able to come out with a win, and we were able to come out and, you know, get ready for this week coming up.
Rashawn Evans joining us. Physicality is always a topic when you and I talk. In fact, you and I talked at the Super Bowl earlier this year. You yourself bring tremendous physicality every time you step on the field. At the same time, your offense does as well. So how much does the offense feed off the physicality of the defense? And then how much do you feed off the physicality of your offense?
I mean, it's hand to hand, man. I think, you know, whenever you get your defense going, you get that rhythm, you get that momentum, as we like to call it. It feeds off to the rest of the team. Not only does it feed off to the offense, it feeds off to the special teams players as well. So, I mean, both sides go hand-in-hand. You know, even when the offense, when Derrick Henry goes and stiffs on a guy to the sideline, to the stands, you know, we get hyped about that. So, you know, it's one of those things where both sides are just as important, man, when it comes to rhythm and momentum, because it can change the dynamics of a game.
Rashawn Evans joining us. All right, so in terms of the physicality, that's one thing, but you also have, like, a mentality. There's a mindset. Something else that's been pretty noticeable the last couple of games is that before each game, there seems to be a pregame meeting on first the Ravens logo, then on the Colts logo. Personally, I love it, man. I think it's a statement of attitude, unless you're going to tell me that it's just a big old coinky-dink. What's going on here? Is this a statement you're trying to make, or is this just a coincidence?
Well, you know, even with, you know, the Jim Harbaugh situation where we was on the logo and stuff, that is something that we do anyway. You know, that we do, we've been doing this since I've been here. And, you know, it's just one of those situations where, you know, I still got to give respect to the Ravens. You know, they have a lot of pride in the organization, as they should. And, you know, they didn't really like what we were doing. We did the same things, you know, really in 2018 where, you know, it was a situation with the Cowboys. We were on the star, and one of the players came over, pushed KB or whatever. So, you know, I mean, we know teams are going to have a bad reaction, but, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, at the same time, we're still going to operate in our business, do our business, and win games. And, you know, sometimes it may ruffle a couple feathers over there on the other side, but, you know, at the end of the day, we come there to handle business.
I appreciate that response. I mean, what we're talking about here is just you're looking for an edge, right? You're looking to impose your will. It's mental warfare. Am I right?
No doubt it's mental warfare. And, you know, whenever you get your opponents already, you know, upset before the game even starts, you've already, you know, started out on a good ride. So, I mean, for us, all we can worry about is us and what we do. And, you know, whatever else happens after that, you know, the only thing we're worried about is a W.
We're talking to Rashawn Evans. You know, in terms of mental warfare, you and Will Compton were talking about how the coaches used to get on you pretty hard in meetings when you were a rookie.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what was that like? And then how much did you learn from that part of the mental warfare, as Compton liked to call it?
I think it was a beautiful thing, man, because of it allows you as a player, as a young player, to, you know, kind of learn how to take criticism, take coaching, take sarcasm, take all of those things into account. And to understand that, you know, this is like your development going into, you know, going into a new, totally different type of atmosphere compared to college. And for me, I feel like it helped me a lot because it helped me to not be so hard on myself, to be even more patient, to be understanding and not take things so seriously. You know what I'm saying? Not take it to heart. A lot of these things that, you know, some of the people may be saying to you, it might not be so much about them trying to be mean. It might be simply about them trying to give you actually really good, you know, criticism about some things you could change or be better at, or, you know, and that you can do. So, you know, I took all of that into account for me and my own experience, and I feel like it's made me the player that I am today, man. I'm able to go out there, have fun doing what I'm doing, man, regardless of what's going on. So, you know, I think that's kind of what I've taken out of that whole situation.
I like it. Rashawn Evans joining me for another few moments. Now, my guy and your friend, Jaylen Brown, is going to miss the rest of the season with that elbow injury. Yeah, man, how big of a blow is that for the team, and how do you go about replacing him?
Yeah, I mean, guy has the ability to, you know, change games, I feel like. You know, he's a playmaker, and, you know, whenever you lose a guy like that, it does hurt. And, you know, it's one of those things where it was kind of an accident that happened. You know, it was nothing really that, you know, I feel like it could have got prevented, just the simple way of how the guy blocked Jaylen and the way he came up under him after the play. But, you know, it's one of those things, that's what happens in the NFL, man. You're 100% guaranteed that it's going to be some type of injury, whether it's, you know, a season ending or if it's something that's just temporary. But, you know, I'm pretty sure Jaylen is in good spirits. I had the chance to talk to him maybe for, you know, a couple of days and just getting kind of where his head is at. So, but I think he's going to be just fine, man. And then just with that, back on to, you know, the type of guy we're losing, you know, you got an opportunity for other guys to be able to come in and, you know, show their stuff. You know, you got David Long, you got Will, and those guys are going to be able to, you know, pick up where we left off with Jaylen. And, you know, it's like they always say in the NFL, man, it's next man up. So, you know, I'm excited to see and you know, have alongside me, you know, David and Will, so we can go out there and get a win.
Rashawn Evans joining us. All right, so you've got the Browns on Sunday. What is the key to stopping their offense?
Yeah, I think their heavy-sided part about them and what they're really good at, man, they got two really good running backs. They got Chubb, they got Hunt back there, and both of those guys are on the verge of going for 1,000 yards apiece. So, I mean, those guys, I've seen multiple videos of those guys running through, you know, every arm tackle, every single tackle that they've – had they been able to run through it and get yards after the tackle. So, you know, the number one thing is our tackling, making sure we wrap up, making sure we do all those little things. And, you know, trying to get Baker a hard time, you know, that's the number one thing, too, you know, going against these quarterbacks. Because these quarterbacks are getting better and better each and every year. They're changing formations. They're doing things to try to get linebackers to, you know, get their eyes wandering in places they're not supposed to be. So we just got to be sound and, be, you know, make sure that we communicate really well amongst each other on, you know, things that they may be trying to trick us on. And, you know, once we do those things, I feel like we'll be fine.
Hey, Rashawn, one quick follow to that. I think that, obviously, you got a monster in your backfield. I love your guy. I think Kareem Hunt in space, obviously, is a real problem for a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. I think Chubb, you tell me I'm wrong, I think Chubb is a top five back, far and away.
No doubt.
Maybe I'm not saying something that isn't obvious, but I really think this guy is a top five NFL back. Do you?
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. Coming from the SEC, I saw this guy before he even went to the league. I saw him at Georgia with the things he was doing with him and Sonny Michel. You know, the guy has the ability to wreck your defense with his feet. And, you know, he's a really stocky, you know, built guy that can, you know, run through tackles. So for us, we just got to make sure we sound on tackling, man. And, you know, I think everything else would be fun.
Rashawn Evans, my guest. This is why I look forward to getting in and chopping it up with you any chance I can. Rashawn, thank you so much. Another great, great interview for the program. And I thank you for doing it, man. Be good. Good luck.
Man, no doubt, man. I appreciate you always having me on here.
Appreciate you. And I appreciate what you do for my show. Rashawn Evans always shows up like that. I love, love, love watching him play and love talking to him. Titans with another big one. Cleveland at Tennessee is an enormous game. I love this game. Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Your thoughts on any of that? We're going back to back. Robert Tonyan is coming up next. Another amazing story. Really quickly, dear Jim, Bob never pulls a hammy. Yeah, because you can't pull a hammy holding a damn clipboard. Kenny and Scotty. Look at the back-to-back Scotty tweets. Jared in Wisconsin. We're working 9 to 5. Anything past 3 is time and a half. Right, boss? Signed, half-assed Hawk. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. At Hitman Canadian tweets. Working 9 to 5. What is that? Signed, Adam Hawk. Working 9 to 5. Daniel tweets, Dolly. Sign Rit.
Ambi.
Dolly. I have to defend Hawk here. Hawk made the regrettable comment that when I'm not around, he doesn't go 100 for the guest hosts. But usually I am around, and when I am, he's all in. Hawk is generous. He's always the first guy in. And usually the last one out. So, you know, him not working really hard is not an issue for me. Him not knowing anything about sports is an issue for me. You can't accuse this guy not working. Hawk busts his ass. Hawk works hard. Hawk is in the office every morning without fail by 5 a.m. for a 9 o'clock start. So, in his defense, he's busting his ass. When we come back... Off to a great start. I love it. That's a really good interview right there. Got another one coming up. Packers tight end Robert Tonyan is next. First, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, and I am, in fact, in Southern California. And as mentioned, we've got a big, big NFL day. We've already had a conversation with Tennessee Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans. That always goes really well. And as promised, we're joined right now by a tight end for the Green Bay Packers, coming off a huge game in that win over the Bears. He had 5 receptions, 67 yards, and a TD on the season. 37 receptions, 458 yards, 7 TDs. He was undrafted in 2017 out of Indiana State. Green Bay is 8-3. They're in first in the NFC North, and they're at home against Philadelphia Sunday. That is a CBS game. Robert Tonyan is my guest. Robert, it's so good to have you on. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Really good to have you. So you had a big game, as I mentioned, on Sunday. Another one against the Bears. You had the five receptions, including that 39-yard TD in the third quarter. Can you take us through the play? What did you see on that play?
We had a good, you know, play designed up with all of our, you know, keepers and stuff like that and all of our play action stuff. And, you know, just the right call at the right time. Aaron put a good ball out there and, you know, sealed the deal.
Robert, you sealed the deal, and he did put a good ball out there. I got to ask you, though, Sunday was another in a season full of enormous games for you, including that three TD game against the Falcons on Monday night back in October. You came into the season with two touchdowns since entering the league, and now you've broken out in such a big way. What has this year been like for you overall?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going as planned and as I wanted and as I visualize, and, you know, I get to come into a building with a great group of guys, a great group of coaches, and who encouraged me to be me and be myself and be the best Robert Tonyan. So I can't ask for much more than that for, you know, the guys in this building.
Robert Tonyan joining us. I think, in a sense, you're kind of understating what you've had to go through. As an example, one of the things that Aaron Rodgers talks about as it relates to you and your approach is the fact that you dealt with that hip injury and you just kept battling through it. Aaron said, quote, "When you see a guy pushing through an injury like that, not making excuses and trying to suit up every single week, you can't help but gain a lot of respect for them," end quote. I mean, that's really high praise from a guy like that. What was your approach to dealing with that injury and playing through it? And did you get the sense that guys noticed the work you were putting in and how much they respected it?
Yeah, I mean, last year was tough. You know, you go through an injury. I've never had an injury before in my life. So last year was the first time where, you know, I had dealt with that kind of adversity. And, you know, when that stuff comes, the only thing I really know what to do is kind of work through it. So, like Aaron said, just not making excuses about it and just trying to go out there and do what's best for the team, even if it's, you know, whatever, you know, five plays or whatever, just to be on the field with the guys. But I think that just kind of led over into the off season, getting the surgery, and then leading into a good, you know, work ethic and mindset coming into this season.
Robert Tonyan, my guest. You know, you mentioned that you never had an injury before, but it's not like you hadn't dealt with adversity before. Having
right.
gone through what you went through to get here, did that help you prepare for an injury, even if you had never had one before?
Yeah, just, you know, staying the course. It's a long season. It's, you know, it's the NFL. You know, things happen. It's a physical, you know, violent game. But, you know, I just had to come to grips with that some things happen for a reason. And, you know, just how I respond to it is what's going to be the ultimate outcome for me.
Yeah, I should probably not assume that everybody knows your story. But what I'm talking about here is, and people are familiar with it, but for those who aren't, you were a quarterback at McHenry East in Illinois. You're putting up big numbers, but the team didn't have a lot of success. So back in the day, what kind of attention were you getting from colleges when it came to recruiting?
You know, just, you know, the basic average, you know, a couple small school offers here and there. And, you know, just, you know, if I get like some attention from a MAC school, it was awesome. But, you know, it's all part of the process. You know, people go different ways and have different paths. So, you know, at the end of the day, my ultimate goal was to get to the NFL, you know, one way or another.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's so many different ways and so many different paths, and you never know where you're going to find a good player.
Exactly.
Story goes, though, that your dad, Bob, made a master list of every D1 school. Your mom, Tammy, would email the head coach, the quarterback's coach, the recruiting coordinator at every single school, and you would be searching for schools that needed a quarterback. I mean, like, the whole family is all in. What was that part of the process like?
Yeah, I mean, we went through it with my sister. She played Division I volleyball at Bowling Green, so she's 2 years older than me. So we went through that process with her. So it was a little bit, I wouldn't say easier, but, like, we knew it was coming, and, you know, we just try to get, you know, my name out there as much as possible just to, you know, get, you know, our foot in the door. And it worked out in the end.
Let me ask you this. Like, your family made great, great sacrifices. Sometimes your mom would drive you to one-day camps at various schools. Like, what were the road trips like with your mom, and what did that mean for your relationship with your mom?
Yeah, I mean, some people don't get, you know, get the time to, you know, spend with their parents very often, especially in, like, this day and age. There's just so much going on and so much distraction. But, you know, I was just, you know, forced, not in a bad way, but to be in a car ride, you know, driving around the country with my mom for a couple summers. And, you know, you don't get to have those talks very often, you know, with your kids and your parents. So it was nice that, all that time spent in a car, you're forced to talk, you're forced to, you know, just any relationship. And it was good that it was with my mom, and, you know, the relationship that we have now just, you know, drives me every day when I come in the building, you know, to just give it that one more percent just for my mom.
I love hearing that. That's great the way you laid that out, and it's so true. I mean, I'm a parent, and I've got a teenage son. I've got another son in college. I know a lot of parents listening right now have got that same feeling, like you don't have that kind of quality connection or time.
Right.
And it is so important. So when you go through that and just to get a shot in college, then you go undrafted, then you get hurt, and then you grind. Now we're talking about you being a Pro Bowl candidate. First off, what would it mean to you, or what does it mean to you to be a candidate, and how much would it mean to you to go to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, it is crazy, that, you know, from where I was, you know, just a couple of years ago to where I'm at now. I mean, it is an honor. You know, to go to the Pro Bowl would be awesome, but there's only really one bowl that we're worried about here in Green Bay. And, you know, we're trying to get that ring on our finger.
Robert Tonyan joining me for a few more moments. It helps when you've got one of the best ever who's getting you the ball. Seems like Aaron Rodgers has taken his game to another level this season, but you said that you knew he was going to have a huge year before the year began. What did you see that made you think that he had a season like this coming?
Just kind of his attitude and, you know, his demeanor coming into the building. It was much more, you know, wouldn't say laid back, but more calm and having fun, where he was more of himself. He was more comfortable around, you know, the coaching staff, the people in the building. There's a lot more trust around, you know, the offense. And I just think the camaraderie of the team is stronger, so it kind of allows Aaron to be more of himself.
It's really interesting. You know, I had him on earlier, Robert, and I've been talking to him for years. He talks a lot about being mindful and being present. I mean, do you sense that change in him as well? Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And that's something I worked on this offseason, was just kind of, you know, the mental and spiritual aspect of being an athlete. And, you know, to be able to, you know, talk with him about it, someone who's, you know, does the same stuff, you know, the mental practice and all that, it's a good, you know, it's a good thing to have someone of that caliber going through the same thing or has gone through the same stuff mentally that, you know, you can, you know, pick apart and, you know, get better at even that.
And one thing I want to ask you about before you go, since you mentioned that, my greatest source of fascination with guys like you and other athletes at the highest level is not necessarily the physical, but what you're talking about, the mental, the spiritual. So when you say that you put in that time over the offseason and really focused on that part of the game, like, what types of things did you do? Who did you read? What did you do? How did you get better mentally?
Yeah, just, you know, read some different books. I got with a mental coach and just kind of worked on my mental toughness and, you know, spirituality, just kind of just figuring out what works for me, what gets me in a right mindset. And my mental coach, is George Kittle's father, Bruce. He's my mental coach. So it was just kind of getting in that, you know, different mindsets and how I can deal through adversity and how I can just, you know, let thoughts come and go. It's just, you know, the power of the mind is super, super crazy and super real, and not many people understand, like, that's the strongest muscle of your body. You got to take care of that just as much as you do any part of your body.
Dude, I was just going to say, the mind is the most important muscle, so how do we strengthen that muscle? Like, how do you get mentally tougher? What's the process for that?
Reps. I mean, just would it be like if you have to get, you know, bench reps or, you know, squat reps or running routes or catching balls, like, just got to put yourself in, you know, different aspects in your mind, and a lot of meditating, a lot of being with yourself, and a lot of self-talk to, you know, see, you know, how strong your mind is and where your mind can take you, and, you know, visualizing, manifesting, you know, success and where you want to be in life and just going after it.
Great point. So finally, what about Kittle? You mentioned his dad, but what about George? You and he are good friends, and I know that if you're doing work with his dad, you're definitely doing training with George as well. What have you learned from your time with George specifically?
He just instilled a lot of stuff in me, just to trust myself and just go be myself. You know, having all the tools, and, you know, sometimes people's minds get in the way of, you know, their athleticism or their play. And for him and me, he was just, you know, telling me to be myself, encouraging me to just let loose and go out there and just, you know, act wild on the field and, you know, set the tone and be a leader and be a good glue guy in the locker room and just, you know, keep stacking days day by day, and eventually it'll lead to big success.
And then finally, the Wisconsin life. Like, I got to ask you, for instance, I've got a son at the University of Wisconsin. We built a house in northern Wisconsin. I'm a California guy. Man, I love the Wisconsin life. I know you're locked in. I know it's work. But what's the Wisconsin life been like for you?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up, you know, just over the border in Illinois. We, you know, family cabins up in northern Wisconsin as well.
Where?
Saner, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Just north of Minocqua. Yeah, just on Plum Lake.
Yes, love it.
Yeah.
We're in Eagle River. Here.
Yep. And I'm just, yeah, I've been around all this stuff up here and, you know, been around Packers fans, been around all the Packers bars growing up and seeing all this this lifestyle, and it's great to be a part of it. I was actually driving in this morning and seeing all the houses on Oneida Street and Lombardi, like, leading up to the stadium and all the, you know, the Packers flags out there and all the Packers Christmas decorations. I just laugh because and smile because, like, these fans have been dedicated for so long, and, you know, it means the world to them, like, our success. So it's just, you know, again, like I said, just another, you know, a stepping stone or a backbone, I should say, to, you know, our success is the fan base.
I never made that day trip to Minocqua when we were in Eagle River. And by the way, everybody in Eagle River is like from Chicago and Illinois.
Yep.
Am I missing? Should I have gone to Minocqua? Is that something I have to do?
Yeah. I mean, northern Wisconsin, the more north you go, you know, the more peaceful and more, you know, out there you are away from, you know, just the general population. I kind of like, when I go up there, I kind of like to get away and just get out. And, you know, it's nice up there. More north, the better.
I love it. The more north, the better. Robert Tonyan, my guest, tight end for the Packers. My man, so appreciate the conversation. That was fun. That was great. You nailed it. You crushed it. Really good to have you on the show. Robert, thanks so much for making time for us.
No, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
That was fun. That was a pleasure. Packer fans, how about that? Like, people who know, know. People who know what kind of a player he is. People who know what kind of character he has. People who know are not surprised what he has done with this opportunity. But still, he had to grind for that. That's another great story. What a good first hour. What a good first hour. More of the same coming up next hour, including a conversation with the host of NFL Red Zone. Where would you be without that product? Scott Hansen is a maniac. He will be joining us. That is a tough, tough gig that he has, but he brings energy to it every single week. Gabriel Davis is coming up in hour number three. So what I'm saying to you is you've got an open opportunity. Open window. Get up in here. 1-800-636-8686. In addition to all of this, I want to remind you that coming up on Sunday, you've got a CBS doubleheader. Early slate, Browns and Titans. I mentioned that already. Key games featuring Raiders, Dolphins, and Colts. And you've got the Packers and the Eagles. All that starting with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific Sunday. The NFL is on CBS. We're coming right back. Open phones to start hour two. Stay tuned.